Mental Health Monday.
On Radio City Talk, tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
It is Mental Health Monday here on Radio City Talk. And in the studio, we've got from the Liverpool Light, we've got Beth Cunliffe.
Hello.
And we've got Stacey Sedgwick.
Hello.
As well. Good afternoon, both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, the Liverpool Light, you're down the London Road
way? It is, yeah. 181 to 185 London Road.
Now, it's a preventative out-of-hours mental health crisis service, but it's something that's been going about a year now?
Yeah, just over. We launched the service in April of last year. So, yeah, just over a year.
And what do you provide?
It's a social framework. Obviously, we're not a clinical service. So the idea of the service was that it's a safe place for people to go. Sometimes people become overwhelmed with everyday life. Things can just come on top of them. They need someone to speak to in a safe and a calm and a confidential environment, which is what we provide. Talk them through what's going on in their lives from that moment to what they've got planned for the future. We can refer into other services as well. Maybe it's debt, benefit services. Just talking, really, and listening. Sometimes that's what people need. Sometimes they don't want to burden their own families or friends with that kind of stuff. They don't feel like they can do, so they can come to us for that.
And it's 6 till midnight?
6 till 1.
6 till 1.
Yeah.
7 days a week?
Yeah, all year round, bank holidays, Christmas, New Year.
And so what's if someone hasn't been there before or feels that they might need to use those services, what's on offer? What if they walk in through those doors?
You can just turn up on the night. That's absolutely fine. There is a referral form for people to fill in, more for us and for them, so we've got a bit more information about them. You can get referred from your GP. We've got a website as well where you can actually fill in the online referral form, which will come directly to ourselves. You come to the door on the night, you'll get welcomed warmly. You'll get offered a nice warm cup of tea if you need one. Just a safe place to talk, really. And obviously, if someone does need clinical intervention, then they do still need to go to A&E, and that's quite clear. But with creative support, we want to make sure that they've got an alternative for that. A&E isn't the place for everybody. Sometimes it can exacerbate people how now they're feeling at that time. The waiting time, obviously, in A&E is quite long sometimes, depending if it's busy or not. And with us, there isn't that waiting time. You can come straight in and speak to someone straight away.
And what's the first 12 months been like?
It's been interesting. It's been there's been quite a range of people who've used the service, from professionals who may be off with PTSD. We've had people who've been to Hillsborough and been affected by that and have never actually received any counselling or anything since then. And they've got to a stage in their lives where they're just completely overwhelmed with it. A broad range of people accessing the services, to be honest. But, you know, the numbers are picking up.
And what's the reaction been like from other services that obviously you will have to link in with?
I mean, we work with the police, ambulance, and obviously A&E as well. A&E will have to refer people down to ourselves if they feel that someone doesn't need clinical intervention and just needs more of a social framework. And obviously they're positive about the service because it obviously gives them another option for people as well. We know A&E is a busy department. The demands there are huge at the best of times. The same with the police as well. We've had positive feedback from them. They've often said that sometimes they do have to get involved in mental health crisis, but it's not always necessarily the correct place for them to be. If someone's in mental health crisis and then they're getting picked up by the police force, are they then going to feel that they've done something wrong? Or, you know, why am I getting picked up by the police? So it means they've got an alternative as well. And often sometimes police officers, if they do have to go to A&E, have to sit and wait in A&E with that person until they've handed them over to A&E staff. And they haven't just got the resources for that at the best of times.
This is Mental Health Monday. We're talking about the Liverpool Light service, which has been going just about a year now, out of hours, mental health crisis service. Beth Cunliffe is with me now. When you go back to when this was all set up and the reasons why it was needed, what actually went into the planning and setting up of it?
Yeah, well, obviously we work alongside Liverpool City Council. An opportunity came up for some funding, which needed to be kind of an innovative idea to bring something new to the city that would kind of prevent mental health crisis or support the already existing services in mental health in the city. So at Creative Support, we'd sat and thought about this for a while, about the demands. We've got 12 supported living services across Liverpool ourselves with Creative Support as well. So we kind of work with a lot of clients who have been in hospital for maybe a prolonged period of time, want to get reintegrated back into the community, and that safety net of hospital is often gone. So they then feel a little bit fearful about going back into the community. So we thought, well, if there's a service there that they know is there, they can access it as and when they need to, out of the normal kind of working hours of your GP, etc. I think the most difficult thing for people in mental health crisis, or even just feeling low in mood, if you're locked and you're quite isolated with yourself at night, just alone with your own thoughts, you've got no one to speak to, it can become overwhelming. So that's why we wanted to introduce this. And obviously we worked with Liverpool City Council closely and ourselves to make sure we got it right, looking at what hours the service should operate from. And we've said that, you know, that could change. We might see a demand at like more 2-3 in the morning, but that's something that will mould with time.
Is that something that you have seen, or what kind of changes have you had to implement in that first 12 months?
In the first 12 months, we haven't really. I think the peak time has been between 10 and 12. Whether that's a transport issue, like a practical reason, we're unsure. But again, it's still quite early days for a service like this, 12 months. And I'm sure as demand grows and we get more people coming through the service, then that will be something that we'll reflect on again.
And what sort of reaction have you had from people who've used the service?
Again, really positive. A lot of people have said that they don't particularly feel like they've got to go to A&E or they want to go to A&E. Obviously, if it gets to the point where there is no choice and they're in that crisis point and they need that clinical, then that's where they need to go. But it's the fact that they can use our service, which will hopefully then prevent them getting to that stage. So they know they can put measures in place and they can come and speak to trained staff who've worked in mental health frontline services for a long time and can receive that support that they need there and then without having to wait several hours sometimes.
You mentioned your staff there. I imagine you rely on them yes. immensely. But yeah. And what kind of people are they? And
mixed.
Kind of range, yeah.
Yeah, obviously all of, we were quite, when we were recruiting for this service, we realised that we needed a certain kind of person who can work in that service, someone who can manage stress quite well, they can de-escalate any potentially difficult situations. So John, the manager, he's worked in mental health services for about 12 years. Very welcoming. He's got kind of a really nice persona about him where you do just feel genuinely quite at ease with him straight away, which is always very helpful. Myself and Stacey also have both worked in that service, and we still do, which is a good thing for us because we like to be on the front line still as well. But yeah, it's very welcoming.
What's it like being on the front line though? I mean, you put yourself there, that and
yeah.
But it's you know, I imagine you're ready to deal with anything.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working in mental health for quite a long time now. I've been, I think, 15 years. Stacey, you've been quite a long time as well.
Coming up to six.
Yeah.
6 years, yeah.
Yeah.
And what have you faced in that time, and how rewarding has it been for you?
I think it's rewarding for everyone who works in this field. The fact that you can get some really positive outcomes for people. Especially people who have been in hospital for 10, 15 years and are now reintegrated back into the community. You've prevented relapse. You know, they've been well for quite a long time. I think for us all as well, there's kind of a personal aspect to that as well. I mean, I've been affected by mental health myself in my own personal life. And I think that that's something that you can give back to clients that we work with, knowing that it is difficult seeing people that you love struggling that way.
Each case is different. That comes through as well.
Yeah.
And you have to treat every single one on its own merit, what you get there and then, and using them assessment skills as to what that person's going to need.
It must be difficult because you've got those assessment skills, like you say, but each person is an individual person and you really have to make that connection, don't you?
Yeah. And usually in quite a short space of time to put someone at ease to be able to then feel that they can give you that information, which it often is really personal. And it must be quite difficult to discuss very personal things with someone that you've maybe only just met. So that is the big key factor, that you've got to make people feel at ease as soon as they walk in through the door.
But if you can do that within a couple of minutes,
yeah,
that's a huge barrier to get across, isn't it?
Massively, yeah. But I think if you've got someone who feels kind of vulnerable enough to want to step through that door, they want that help and they want that support. So there is usually... it's usually a little bit easier because they've kind of come to the realisation that they want to be there rather than us kind of making them want to stay. Often they want to stay because they want to get that support.
What sort of numbers are you using this now, and what are you capable of dealing with? And
yeah, I mean, obviously, insurance purposes and things like that, we can only have up to 15 people in the building at one time. As at the moment, we've got approximately 300 people on our records, so that's people who have referred into the service and actively used it. It can vary, to be honest, from night to night. Some nights you can be really in demand, other nights it can be quieter. But again, that's the nature of the business, really, and the service that we provide. You just really never know what's going to happen from one night to the next.
And is this something you can see either it needs to expand, or there is a possibility for more of these sites?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that's beneficial. I mean, obviously at the moment with our location, we're quite central and we're handy in the fact that we are quite close to the Royal. So if someone does present and they do then need clinical intervention, we can then take them down to the Royal so they receive that extra support that they need. But I think when we're looking at other side of Liverpool, kind of your South Liverpool, your Belvale, your Gattaca, obviously it might be a bit more difficult for people in that area to get to London Road to use the service. So maybe in the future it would be nice if there was one in a different area to be more accessible to, well, across the city, really.
And the future for yourselves, is this something you see yourself doing for a long time?
I hope so. Well, I've been with Creative Support for 5 years now. And we have expanded our services quite a lot in the time I've been there. We've also got quite a large floating support service that covers the whole of the north of the city, which is a homeless prevention service in line with mental health services as well. So we do provide a range of different services across the city.
What sort of reactions? Obviously, mental health being spoken about on a far more open basis now, and we're talking about it here on the radio every Monday. How has it changed the general public's view of even to the point where people who might not have come through the door?
Yeah, I think that stigma has been massively reduced, which is what we need, and it's been needed for a long time. There's no shame in mental illness. It can happen to absolutely anyone at any point in their lives. And I think with the client group that we have got access in the light, you can see that, you know, people are working in frontline public services, maybe offset with PTSD, but still need that support and will come and seek it, because now they don't feel afraid to kind of say, actually, I need help. But I don't think we're there 100%. I think there's still a long way to go in that. But I think we're definitely going along the right lines.
And if someone's listening now who's in that situation, who feels that they really might just benefit from popping down and just having a chat, how do they get in touch?
They can literally just turn up to the Liverpool Light from 6 p.m. They can literally just turn up to the door. The staff will be there, can go through a referral form with them. They can go online on the website, which is www.liverpoollight.org, I believe. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, Light Liverpool. And yeah, just use the service if it's what you need.
Well, thanks for coming in. It's a service that I didn't know was there, but I think there's a lot of people might well have that idea. And, you know, if we can get more people using the service, and hopefully we can go from strength to strength. That's the Liverpool Light, which is down on London Road. And thank you so much for Beth Cunliffe and Stacey Sedgwick for coming in today.
Thank you.
Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk, tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.